Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 10 best cities to retire and invest in 2020. But before we get started, hey, I just want to say hi, guys, and encourage you. Man, this is a good year. 2020 is the year to really get moving here in your real estate investing if you haven't started already. You know, if you have, great. If you haven't, you know, we're here to be a resource for you. What do you need to get going? If you want me to send cash, well, that might not happen. But hey, nonetheless, I got lots of encouragement for you because I think this is a good year, and I think this is a good time to get started. So let's keep moving forward and not be discouraged, because it is a little tough. Man, believe me, trying to find multifamily right now is just a challenge. But, you know, am I stopping? No. Am I discouraged? No. Okay, nonetheless, enough of this, Bill. Tip of the week. We're going the tip of the week. And, you know, this is not Bigger Pockets. I'm not going to go tip of the week. You know, they do that high pitch thing. No, you know, we have our own tip of the week, right? And this one is kind of like an Ask Bill tip of the week. Okay. We're kind of combining the old Ask Bill. You know, I haven't done those for a while. But this was a question from one of our listeners, Nina. And Nina asked me, how do you find out how good a neighborhood is? Trulia has crime rate, so do I need to stick to the lowest rate areas? Well, great question. Crime rate does have a significant impact on a property. And that is something you really want to know well, but you want to know it in proportion to what you're doing. Sometimes if you're involved in low-income housing, the crime rate may be a little bit higher than usual, but it's because of, you know, again, the neighborhood you're in and the tenant base that you're pursuing. So you might have a little jump there. But if it's a really dangerous place, a lot of murders, a lot of violence, you don't want to be there. You just don't want to be there. And we did an episode number 212, episode 212, entitled How to Research Property Crime Statistics. And if you just do a little search at olddogsreinetwork.com, and you could just type in the word crime, this one will be like the first one that pops up. And it does cite some really good resources, neighborhoodscout.com, Crime Report, Spot Crime, and even a service that will give you sort of monthly reports on that neighborhood and what crimes are occurring in that neighborhood. So good place to go if you want to find out about crime stats. But good question, Nina. Thank you. Well, let's move on to our topic here, 10 best cities to retire and invest in 2020. Now, this is going to be a little different show. You know, I've done a lot of top 10 stuff. Some people don't like them. Some people like them. Some people just kind of mix it in with other stuff that they know. But I think there's some value to it, is to know, you know, where the stats are pointing in terms of good markets. We've done, you know, top 10 emerging markets, best or top multifamily markets, population growth metros, you know, where the population growth is the strongest. Those are all indicators and things that you might want to take a look at that will at least help you to know what areas to research. So what I did is a little different this time, though. I'm not just doing a top 10, okay? What I thought I would do is I researched sort of the best places to retire and the best places to invest. And I kind of overlaid the two, and I'm going to share the results with you. And it's kind of interesting because I'll tell you how this kind of came about. Okay, first off, let's do a little survey here. Raise your hand if the answer is yes. Okay. How many of you are retired? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. All right. Okay. I got it. How many of you are planning on retiring in the next 5, 10 years? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Keep your hands up. Okay. Better not. If you're driving, especially, don't want both hands up. Okay. So how many empty nesters are listening right now? How many of you plan to hold on to your house after your kids are gone? How many want to sell, maybe to downsize or to access the equity in your house? How many of you are real estate investors? How many of you want to be a real estate investor? Well, if you raised your hand at least 4 times there, okay, then this show is just what you need. Hopefully, it'll be something even better than what you need, okay? But this is the story, okay? I'm talking, this is a personal show here, and I'm, you know, getting personal with you here. So those of you that have listened, you know I have 7 kids, okay, and 4 grandkids, okay? So 2 of our kids are married, and they have just produced the most beautiful grandchildren, 4 beautiful grandchildren. Now, one, my oldest daughter, okay, actually lives in Ohio, and she's the only out-of-state kid we have. So she's there with her husband and 2 kids, okay? The rest of them are all in Southern California. And yes, 3 of them are living with us, okay, as happens. Sometimes, you know, that empty nester thing just kind of gets beyond us sometimes. But, hey, 2 of those are moving out. They're just kind of getting reoriented, you know, saving some money to get their own places and stuff. So they're going to be doing that soon. Uh-huh, right. No, they are. And so that leaves us really with 1 kid who's actually in school still, and that's my son, Kenny. He's a sophomore in high school, loves football. You know, it's so funny because when he was one of our adopted kids and from Haiti, and, you know, football used to be football, you know, it was the soccer, and that's all he knew when he came here. And he just kind of was messing around out on the playing field. You know, he was at a school, small private school, and the football coaches, American football, happened to see him, and they came up and, you know, asked him if he'd be on the team. He didn't even know anything about football. I mean, American football at all. So he started researching it, you know, went on YouTube, started, you know, learning all about it. And he ended up doing really good and brought their team. He ended up being the MVP for the year. For this is like middle school. And it was like a crack up because he was like, he's a soccer player. Anyway, nonetheless, he's loving football. football. He wants to, use it to leverage to getting into, the college of his choice, free ride, whole enchilada, Clemson, Bama, whatever, whoever will take him, right? So he's technically our last kid. And so the reason I'm even sharing this story is my wife and I have been talking, and we're kind of going, okay, well, when all the kids are gone, are we going to stay here? Are we going to go somewhere? Or what are we going to do? We're trying to figure it out. Well, we got seven kids. So that factors into it because one, we want to be there for them. And we also want to, be able to see our grandkids grow up and stuff. So we already got one that's in Ohio. So I got two that are married. Okay. And then we got the other five that are not married yet. So what happens when they get married? And, who knows, maybe their husband will want to go to a different state, or maybe they're going to want to go to even a different country or serve in the mission field like we did, or we don't know kind of where everybody's going to go. So we're trying to figure this out. What do we want to do? And so I'm looking at all these. We're kind of weighing these things out. We're looking at them. We love certain things about California, the beaches, the mountains, the desert, the culture, the arts, all these great things. And there's things we hate: the traffic, too many people, taxes, the politics, the growing homeless problem, the increasing crime. I mean, okay, so there's these things. And then we thought, okay, but in a perfect world, if we could just go where we want to go, where would we go? And we would like to go to a place that's got sort of all the stuff that you'd want for retirement, right? Okay. And so good health care and all these, various things, not too crowded, but a nice, beautiful place. Okay. But at the same time, we're major league into real estate investing. So we'd like to go to a place where the real estate investing is really cool. So that's what kind of brought me to this, is I said, well, let me look at places that are considered the top retirement places. And I'd like to look at that in conjunction with the best places to invest in real estate. So I looked at a lot of different places for the top retirement, and there's a lot of, mixed things there, but U.S. News and World Report had a comprehensive evaluation of 125 large metropolitan areas, okay? So interestingly, okay, these top 10, they came up with four Florida metro areas were mentioned and two North Carolina metro areas were mentioned in the top 10. And that's up, from number two last year. Fort Myers, Florida is the number one on the list, okay? And then you've got other areas like, Sarasota that jumped up. North Carolina places, they've got Asheville. I'll go into the list, but basically you've got some Texas places and you've got some Pennsylvania places. Okay. So what they evaluated were things like happiness factor. People that they surveyed are people that were retiring and looking for places also. And, the categories were happiness, housing affordability, healthcare quality, desirability, retiree taxes, and job market ratings. These were measured and weighted, in this survey of people aged 45 to 59 that are getting ready to retire, as well as those 60 and older, okay, to find out what matters most when you're considering where to retire, okay? So I took this this information, okay, and then I compared it, I overlapped it with my own sort of target list, which I've shared on this show, but I didn't want it to be all skewed towards what I had evaluated as sort of top areas. I pulled in some of my buddies that have been on recently, like Neil Bawa and Vinny Chopra, who are always looking at emerging markets. These guys are like crazy looking at them all the time, analyzing them, and so I mixed in some of theirs with this, okay? But not only that, okay, then I wanted to factor in a couple of other things that, besides just the best areas to retire and the best places to invest, I factored in landlord-friendly states, okay? And then there was one that's just kind of off there that some people, actually are, very interested in, is states with no personal income tax. Okay, that's another favorable to a lot of people in terms of where they locate. So here is kind of the rundown. Okay, So the retirement places, and I'm going to see how these kind of overlap, okay? So the top retirement cities, number one, I mentioned Fort Myers, Florida. Number two, Sarasota, another Florida place. Number three, Lancaster, PA, okay? That's a beautiful place, okay? And then number four, Asheville, North Carolina, okay? Number five, another Florida, Port St. Lucie, okay, in Florida. And then another Florida. Okay, we're up to four Floridas here. Jacksonville, Florida. And then now we got another North Carolina, Winston-Salem area. And then number eight, Nashville, Tennessee. No surprise. A lot of people are retiring there. I mean, even though the prices have gone up a lot on properties in Nashville, it's still a lot less than California. So I know a lot of people that have moved out of Southern California to go there. Number nine kind of surprised me, but at Grand Rapids, Michigan. Okay. It's good place to retire. Meets all the criteria. And the last one was Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Now, Texas is getting a ton of people from places like California and New York. So those are the top retirement communities. So my top investing communities, okay, number one, Raleigh-Durham area, not far from Winston-Salem. Number two, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Number three, Orlando, okay, only a couple hours away from Jacksonville. Number four, Atlanta. Number five, Nashville. Okay, we see some overlap here. Okay, also we had the Dallas-Fort Worth overlap. Number six, Indianapolis. Number seven, Charlotte, also another North Carolina. Number eight, Jacksonville. Okay, another Florida. Number nine, Greensboro, which is a North Carolina. And number 10, Winston-Salem. So already I've got these big overlaps here. We got a Jacksonville overlap. We got Winston-Salem overlap. We got Nashville overlap, Dallas-Fort Worth. And then we got the Winston-Salem overlap, I think. Yeah, right. So, and I looked at Neil Bawa's list, and he's big on North Carolina, Raleigh, Charlotte, Winston-Salem, Asheville. Those are all, recently on the show, and these are some of the top areas that he's looking at. Florida, Jacksonville. But then he goes into areas that the other lists didn't hit. Now, and I thought a typical retirement place would have been Arizona, but he does cite a number of Arizona areas and some of the secondary tertiary markets as well, like Phoenix, Gilbert, Chandler, Mesa, which is a personal favorite of Neil's, in Tucson. Okay, so he touches those. And then in Texas, instead of Dallas-Fort Worth, he's looking at San Antonio. Okay, now Vinny, who, you guys know Vinny, has been on a number of times and always real big into emerging markets. He has Jacksonville, he has Orlando, but he also adds Tampa and Melbourne. He cited Atlanta, which is one of the areas that I had on my list. North Carolina, he's also got Raleigh, Durham, and Greenville, not cited on the other ones. But then he touched on a lot of Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Utah. He hits a lot of areas. He does hit Tucson, does talk also Dallas-Fort Worth, San Antonio area. And then he talks to Indiana, which is would match one of my lists, and Grand Rapids, which is one that definitely was on that retiree list. Okay, the best places to retire. So then I like to take a look at these, and you can kind of see, okay, heavy Florida, heavy North Carolina, fairly heavy on the Texas side, seem to be the most dominant. But then if you look at landlord-friendly states, okay, there's a sort of a top seven, and then there's one that I kind of snuck in there because their landlord-tenant laws are pretty good. They're just not as strong as these other areas. But our top seven landlord-friendly states are Indiana, Georgia, Kentucky, Texas, Arizona, Florida, and Alabama. But I also looked at North Carolina, which a lot of people say is landlord-friendly. It's just not listed as common because I think there are some a few exceptions that might put them, off the list a little bit. But look at this. Indiana, okay, we mentioned that. Georgia, we talked about. Texas, we talked about. Arizona, Florida. Those are all landlord-friendly states. So you can kind of see the commonalities here. And, I kind of snuck North Carolina in there. But Florida seems to be pretty strong. And it's also, you know, a top retiree state, I guess, out of all the states, you know, all the snowbirds that go down there and so forth. And then if you want to add in the states with no personal income tax, okay, well, here are the top nine. Number one is Alaska. Number two is Florida. There's Florida again. Nevada, South Dakota, fourth. Texas, five. There's Texas again. Six, Washington. Now, that's hard to believe, Washington State, but okay, I didn't know that. Number seven, Wyoming. Number eight, New Hampshire. And number nine, Tennessee. And we talked about Tennessee, at least Nashville. So the one that just seems to be on every list, okay, is obviously Florida. Florida kind of wins the prize of being in all of the categories, right? But at the same time, there's also other lists. You know, we talked about Lancaster, PA, Fort Myers, Florida. Some people say Austin is a good retirement area. Washington, D.C., it's on one of the lists. Phoenix, of course, Arizona has always been a strong retirement area. But there's also like Portland, Maine on this list and Portland, Oregon. You can kind of see this kind of cross section. Now, you know, again, going back to the retiree list, the top two are Fort Myers, Sarasota, Port St. Lucie at five, and Jacksonville, Florida. So in the top six, you know, you've got four Floridas. So that's, you know, not only a good place to retire, but a good place to invest too. So, that's something to consider. I would say also in the top, you know, the top 10, you've got sort of the two North Carolina places, Asheville and Winston-Salem. And then you've got, Nashville, Tennessee, which I don't know if Tennessee hit all of them, but pretty close. I would probably say if you were going to narrow down, if my wife and I were to say, hey, where should we go to invest? And you look at a place that's got the best, you know, benefits in terms of retirement, also a state that's landlord friendly, also a state that there's no personal income tax, you'd pick a place in Florida. You know, then I would probably look at maybe North Carolina as second. And then it's kind of a toss up as to where would be the next place, probably Texas, because it looks like it's on all the lists too. So that is it. That's my little comparison. I'll have all these lists in my show notes for this, so you'll be able to look at each list individually, but you'll also be able to see the overlap. You know, if you're one of those, you know, fortunate ones that can, go someplace. I mean, there's some of you probably saying, you know, why would I want to stick around here? I'm going to go, you know, down to the south of France, you know. Well, you probably don't need to worry about any of these things. Probably don't even need to invest in real estate, right? But, you know, maybe there's a place like Puerto Rico or Costa Rica or someplace like that, you know, that's not that far from the U.S., but you still, you know, you could live in a tropical life, and it's really cheap to live in those places too. I mean, you could live there for hardly anything. And there's certain parts of Europe you could do the same thing. Certain parts of, you know, the mountains of Italy and places like that where you can live really cheaply. So, if you got family, it's kind of tough. We thought, well, you know, we can always just move a place once our kids, you know, start getting married, start having kids, then we could also just move out of that place. So if we moved to Florida, we bought some, you know, rental properties there, and we, you know, we're there to be able to grow the rental, you know, and build a team and that kind of stuff, then we could fly off and let somebody else manage it while we enjoy our kids. Or we may, you know, we are actually even thinking, you know, one of our kids, our daughter, Jasmine, in Ohio, she has like 20 acres, a huge place. And we thought of buying like a little tiny house, okay, putting it on her land there. And then what they could do is they could rent it out as an Airbnb while we're gone. And, you know, it'll generate a little income from them, but we can book it on those dates that we can go and hang out with them for a month or so, you know. And so if our kids end up, spreading out over the country, we could set up these little Airbnbs, you know, and, you know, maybe joint partner with them or just let them get the income, whatever. But, you know, there's a couple ideas there for those of you that are in the same shoes trying to decide where to live in retirement. Well, that is it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the show entitled 10 Best Cities to Retire and Invest in 2020. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.